engine and laid on the gas. Chapter 29. My plan to get Freya and Delaney some assistance in canceling reporter bookings changed when Veda got a call from the hospital. It was from Dr. Candela. She was both surprised and excited to report that one of the victims had been taken out of their coma and was speaking to them. I flipped a U-turn at the edge of town and got to the hospital as quickly as was safely possible. There was no telling how stable the patient actually was, and we needed information. We got to the triage station, and a nurse told us that Dr. Candela would be out to get us shortly. Shortly turned into an hour.
"Why did she rush us over here for us to sit around?"
Sophie whined. Veda glanced over at her. "Imagine dealing with dozens of zombies being brought back to normal life.
I'm sure she just got held up. Patience, Sophie. Patience." "I should have shifted. People are always more receptive to adorable puppies than they are to humans. I bet that nurse would have taken us right back,"
Sophie pouted. I patted Sophie's leg. "I'm sure she'll be out shortly. If not, we can always head out to help Freya and..."
"I'm sorry for the wait,"
Dr. Candela interrupted me, hurrying to us from a set of large steel double doors.
"You've got to come see this."
The three of us were on our feet and following the doctor back through the doors. She was walking so fast that Veda almost had to jog, being that her legs weren't as long as Sophie's and mine. Candela took us to an ICU room, and to my surprise, she led us through the door to the room I had expected to observe from the window. In the center of the room was a traditional hospital bed with a man, unshaven and pale, staring at the ceiling. His lips were moving as he mumbled, but I couldn't make out what he was saying.
"This is Gary," Candela said. "We, of course, don't know his real name yet, but I hate calling people John Doe. I took him off dialysis this morning when his blood test came back clean. I was shocked at how quick the dialysis worked, if I'm being honest."
"Any theories as to why it was so fast?" Veda asked, taking a few steps towards Gary.
"The working theory is that the rate of release of the poison from the tissues isn't steady. It may be cyclical or altered depending on volume. That's being tested in other patients,"
Candela rambled off.
"What is he saying?" I asked, turning my head to put an ear towards Gary.
Sophie turned her head as well and paused, listening.
"He's talking about being tied up in a closet when he was a kid."
"Wow, you've got some great ears,"
Candela told her, impressed.
"You are right. The nurse listened in for a while and said the same thing. The story gets worse the longer you listen, unfortunately, and he keeps repeating it."
Veda took another step towards the bed, wanting to examine Gary, but knowing she shouldn't get too close.
"Has he been questioned?"
"Yes, I did that myself," Candela answered. "He will look at me after I ask him a question, but immediately look away when I stop talking. And he doesn't answer. He just goes back to telling his story."
A click behind us made us all turn towards the door. Sage walked into the room.
"Am I interrupting?"
"What are you doing here?"
Sophie asked.
"I was going to come take you to the airport after we were done here."
"I know, but my flight got bumped up,"
Sage told her.
"I didn't want to leave without saying goodbye. It took me a minute to track you down. I would have thought that, in a small town, people would be easier to find."
Dr. Candela looked at Sage and then at me. She furrowed her brow, weary of the new arrival. I realized they hadn't met.
Dr. Candela, this is Dr. Sage Greenough," I told her.
"She is a geneticist friend of Sophie's who has been visiting. Sage, this is Dr. Candela. She's working with the passengers from the ship."
"Oh, wow,"
Sage said, her face lighting up.
"It's great to meet you, Dr. Candela. I can't imagine the workload you must be under right now."
Candela relaxed as soon as she found out we knew Sage. She extended her hand to Sage.
"Nice to meet you as well. A geneticist, huh? I wish we had one on staff around here. They would come in handy right about now."
"I'd love to stay and help,"
Sage said remorsefully as they shook hands,
"but I have to get back to my lab in Iowa. We have an inspection, and I need to be there to consult with the inspector. Otherwise, I'd be happy to stay and help.
In fact, perhaps I can come back.
I wouldn't refuse you if you did, Candela replied. We wouldn't be able to fund your services, though, that much I know.
Sage smiled at her.
I wouldn't require a salary. I happen to make enough money already. I'd just love to help. I'm not sure how long the inspection will take. I'm sure you know how that goes.
I do, Candela chuckled. Good luck getting out in under a week.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Sage said. Now, what is going on here?
Sophie stepped up beside Sage.
He is a passenger who has been taken out of his medically induced coma. He is speaking, but so far he is simply reciting a story of some childhood trauma. He's only visually responsive to questioning.
Wow.
Sage sounded fascinated.
Any idea what is causing him to be on repeat?
Candela shrugged.
We haven't quite got that one nailed down, but we suspect that repeat has been going on for quite some time. His brain scans show a significant overdevelopment of specific neural pathways.
I've heard of that, Sage said. It's out of my wheelhouse, but my father is a celebrated psychiatrist. I've picked up a few things.
Maybe you can bring your dad back with you, Candela said, only half joking. Perhaps he could tell us if it's simply a mental collapse from being stuck on the ship since boyhood, or the poison that caused Gary to be stuck in a singular train of thought.
Poison? What kind of poison?
Sage was curious.
We don't have that figured out either, Candela sighed. Right now, we are flying by the seat of our pants and just trying to keep the passengers alive.
My mind was stuck on what Candela had said about the passenger being on the ship since he was a boy.
Doctor, we know the ship disappeared 27 years ago, but how are you able to tell how old this man is? Oh, it's not easy, but there are certain things to look for developmentally. We estimate he would have been about 16 when he got on board, Candela answered. He basically grew up on that piece of floating metal.
Sophie crossed her arms and shook her head.
That is one of the saddest things I've ever heard.
Agreed, I said. We just happen to have seen a picture of a boy around 16 who got on the ship. I wonder if this could be him.
Maybe. I know it's not easy. But can you see any resemblance to the kid in the picture? Candela asked hopefully.
I took a few steps towards Gary and studied his face. His features, although drawn, were even. He had thin lips, high cheekbones, and a small forehead.
Could be.
Veda, do you have that picture?
Veda fished her tablet from her purse.
Let me see.
She tapped away on her screen and then held it up for me to see. Dr. Candela immediately stepped between the two of us.
Put that down!
Veda took a step back.
What?
I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be rude, but we've done our best to rid this room of reflective surfaces, Candela explained.
Oh my God!
Veda said, immediately sorry.
I wasn't thinking. My apologies.
It's okay, Candela said.
Veda turned around, and we crowded around her, looking at the picture of the captain, first mate, and the boy we'd found days before.
Look, the boy does have similar features, especially the smaller forehead,
Sophie noticed.
He has thin lips too, I pointed out. I think this is him.
We turned back to look at Gary, while Veda put her tablet away. I glanced around the room and was impressed when I saw just how good a job Candela had been at removing reflective surfaces. The items that were absolutely needed were wrapped in paper. Even the blood draw tray on the stand next to the bed had been papered. Everything in a hospital seemed to be reflective. IV poles, bed rails, windows.
Hey, why isn't the window covered? I asked. We can't risk Gary getting up and nobody seeing him. From his spot on the bed, he can't see himself, and he is too weak to walk that far. We are keeping a close eye on his progress to make sure that when he does regain his strength, we are prepared.
Sage shook her head slowly.
I forgot about the reflections, she said to Sophie. Didn't it look like they were scared to death or something?
Yeah, Sophie confirmed. Adrenaline production overload or something happens when they see themselves.
Now I really can't wait to get back, Sage said to Dr. Candela. I'd like to get your poison tissue samples under a scope as quickly as possible.
I can't imagine what kind of biological could cause that kind of reaction to one's own reflection.
That's what we need to figure out. At this point, I'm not sure we can reprogram these patients, even once we get the poison out of them.
Candela sighed.
I'll talk to my dad, Sage assured her. I'm certain he'd be interested. Unfortunately, I have to get going.
Sophie went to Sage and hugged her.
Add some extra time to your trip when you come back, she said. We need to catch up more.
Sage squeezed her back and smiled.
I will.
The hug ended, and Sage shook Veda's hand, the doctor's, and then walked to Gary's bedside to shake mine.
It's been a pleasure, all of you.
Sage turned to go, and I felt the toe of her high heel push up against my foot as she went to walk away. Before I could stop her, she fell forward. She grabbed my arm with one hand and swung her other arm out to protect herself from hitting the floor. It would have worked, except the tray next to the bed was too close. Her hand smacked into it, sending the blood samples and the tray they were on flying into the air. I got a hold of her just in time to keep her from bloodying her nose on the tile, but glass tubes started crashing down around her, most of them breaking. As soon as she got one hand under her, she took her other arm from me and pushed herself up onto her knees.
Oh my fucking God, I am so sorry.
Sophie was at her side instantly.
Are you okay? No, I just ruined the patient's blood samples,
Sage sobbed. Candela joined Sophie, squatting down to check on Sage.
Did you get any on you? Don't worry about the samples. I'll just have them redrawn. They are relatively fresh, so the timeline of drawing won't be compromised.
Sophie and Candela helped Sage check herself for blood.
I don't see any, do you?
Sage said, relieved.
No, I think you are clear. I would change clothes immediately, just in case, though,
Candela recommended as they helped Sage to her feet.
I really am.
No, no, no!
A voice yelled out, cutting Sage off. Our heads whipped around to the hospital bed, and time seemed to slow. Horror flooded over us as we saw Gary holding the tray that the blood samples had been on. It had landed on the bed in all the chaos, and none of us had noticed. At first, I couldn't tell why the tray upset him so badly, but then I saw a loose piece of paper hanging out from the bottom, and Gary was looking at the bottom of the tray. He was staring at his own reflection. All of us lunged to get to the tray, but it was too late. Gary dropped it before we reached him. His hands flew up in front of his face as he screamed. His entire body started to convulse, and the screams subsided into whimpers and then disappeared altogether. Sounds of desperate lungs replaced those whimpers, searching for air and finding none. Veda was the first to reach him. She yanked the tray off the bed and threw back the blanket, exposing his hospital gown-clad body. Dr. Candela was by her side in a flash, pushing on his chest, trying to administer CPR while Veda elevated the bed, stabilized Gary's head, and monitored his breathing. I pulled Sophie back, away from the bed, while Sage rushed to help so we wouldn't be in the way. Sage started pumping Gary's legs forward, towards his chest and back. Dr. Candela yelled out louder than I would have thought her voice could,
"Metoprolol, now!"
A nurse burst into the room before my head could turn to see her enter and ran to a cabinet. As she yanked out some sterile bags, she ripped them open with the precision of a hummingbird aiming its beak towards a flower, yanked open a drawer, and grabbed a vial of solution. One swift tug and the push of a plunger, and she had put together a sterile syringe and jammed the needle end into the rubber stop of the vial. She held the syringe up in front of her face and pulled the plunger out, slowing at the end to get the correct dosage. Then she dropped the vial into the drawer and bolted to the IV line. It couldn't have been 20 seconds total from the time she entered the room until she injected the medication into the line. While what was going on horrified me, I was extremely impressed, and my respect for nurses reached an all-time high. Sage kept moving Gary's legs, and the nurse squeezed in and began bending one of his arms furiously. He looked like a rag doll being squished and unsquished. I turned to Sophie and asked, "Do you know why they are doing that?"
Cardio exercise burns adrenaline out of the body. I'm pretty sure the medicine the nurse gave him was a beta blocker to help his heart,
she replied, unsure. What does a beta blocker do exactly? She shot me a look like I was crazy and then nodded towards Gary.
Wrong girl to ask. Everyone that would know the answer to that is over there.
I felt useless, standing in the corner of the room with Sophie. Several more nurses joined the efforts to save his life, and time ticked by like hours instead of seconds. I honestly don't know how long they worked on him, only partially pausing every so often to check his pulse. 10 pulse checks later, Dr. Candela removed her hands from his chest.
I think we are in the clear.
There was a nurse on each side of the bed. One manually monitored Gary's pulse, while the other strapped a blood pressure cuff to his arm. Sage, Veda, and Candela stepped back to let the nurses get Gary's vital signs. The nurses looked over at the doctor and let out a sigh of relief.
He's stable.
Get him back into a coma. His cocktail is in his chart, Candela ordered them without being rude.
She turned to Sage and Veda.
He'd be dead if it wasn't for you two.
Sage's eyes dropped to the floor, and I saw a tear fall down.
He wouldn't have needed saving if it wasn't for me, you mean?
Sophie went to Sage and wrapped her in a hug.
Stop it now. It was an accident. I know, but what the fuck?
Sage sobbed.
Worst accident ever.
Sophie comforted Sage as Candela walked over to me.
We have a lot to do here. I'm going to have to clear the room. I'll call you when I get any more news.
All right, I replied. Also call if there's anything we can help you with. Candela paused, thinking before she spoke, and then said,
I know this may sound callous, but Sage just did us a favor. We now have evidence that the poison isn't associated with the terror. There isn't any poison in Gary's body.
Hopefully she'll find some comfort in that, I replied, looking over at Sage.
Thank you for coming when I called, Candela said. I'll call you later.
I went to Sophie and let her know it was time for us to leave. She, Sage, Veda, and I walked out, back through the double doors and out into the sunlight. A black car pulled up just as we reached the curb. A large man got out and opened the back door.
That's my driver, Sage said, taking a deep, saddened breath. I have to go, or I'm going to miss my flight. Are you sure the inspection can't go on without you?
Sophie asked her hopefully.
I'm sure, unfortunately, Sage replied. Don't worry, I'll be back as soon as I can. A little vacation, even if it's a working one, sounds like heaven right about now. If they let me back in the hospital, that is.
I took Sage by the arm and gently led her to the car.
Candela told me that your accident actually gave them a vital piece of information.
As I explained what the doctor had said, Sage climbed into the car. She thanked me, smiled weakly at Sophie, and was gone, leaving the three of us standing on the curb.
What now? Veda asked, looking tired. I think grabbing an early dinner and taking food to Freya and Delaney sounds in order, I said. It's too late to get out to the ship. It'll be getting dark soon. We're going to have to wait until morning.
I hate having to wait, Sophie mumbled. The longer that fucking creature in there is here, the more bodies have the chance of piling up. A captain brings a poor kid on a ship, and look what ends up happening to him. It's disgusting.
I hear you, but I don't want any of our bodies to be the ones piling up, I told her as we headed to the van. Food, sleep, and then we get